Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, and today is Wednesday, June 21st, so I'm coming to you a little late this week, but things are actually less complicated and a little more complicated than they have been. So my husband was supposed to have surgery last week on Wednesday, and we found out that that had been postponed. We're not sure of that surgery date right now, so things are very up in the air. So that's how they are both less complicated, because he is not recovering from surgery this week, but also more complicated because now we're back in limbo. We don't know when that date is going to be scheduled. So our lives are still a little bit crazy and a little bit up in the air. We appreciate all of the kind thoughts and prayers that you have put forth for us. And speaking of kind thoughts and prayers, if you joined me last week on Friday for my Friends on Faith on Fridays segment with my dear friend Christine, and she talked about her wonderful pet Marty, her wonderful Labradoodle Marty. He did die on Sunday, so he did cross that rainbow bridge, and she, of course, is heartbroken. She is, I had two friends, actually. One friend's dog died on Friday, and then Christine's dog died on Sunday, and so they are both heartbroken, and I know that they would welcome your prayers of comfort as they grieve the loss of their friends and companions. And Christine had her dog for 9 years, and my other friend had hers for 11. So our little fur babies take up they are part of God's beautiful creation, and they take up a good chunk of our hearts, and it's so hard to lose them because they do leave a hole in our lives when they go. So I just thank you in advance for any prayers that you might be able to offer them as they grieve the loss of their beloved pets. So I am going to do this week's episode in two parts. I've been doing them in one, but I don't have quite enough time this week to do the whole four-part episode, but I am going to split it into two. And part of that is because we have 5 readings assigned for this week. There is an alternate first reading. So it's like we're making up for all those Old Testament readings we missed in the season of Easter. There is a first reading and then an alternate first reading. So churches who go by the lectionary calendar and the lectionary cycle don't do both reading Old Testament readings. They choose one or the other as part of their worship service. I figure since I have a podcast, I can do both of them. So I'm going to be doing today the Old Testament readings, which are from Exodus 19, Genesis 18, and Psalm 100. And then tomorrow, hopefully, I will get to the New Testament readings from Romans 5 and Matthew 9, the Gospel of Matthew. We are now into that year of the Gospel of Matthew. As I've mentioned before, the lectionary cycle is a 3-year cycle, and it rotates. So each year focuses on a different gospel. We are in the Gospel of Matthew. If you're wondering why we haven't been reading from the Gospel of Matthew, it's because during the season of Easter, we were reading from the Gospel of John. So, it's not a hard and fast rule. You don't read from the same gospel, only. there is some room for alternate texts. So, and we have an alternate first reading today. So why don't we get straight to that? And we will start with the reading from Exodus. And that reading comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 2 through 8a. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites. So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all of these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So again, that comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 2 through 8a. And it ends on such a hopeful note, right? The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And I believe that they believed that's exactly, you know, that they firmly believed what they were saying. Don't we always firmly believe what we are, what we say when we say, "Everything that God says, I am going to do. Everything that God commands, I am going to do." We have such good intentions as humans, and yet we know that that doesn't always work, that we fall short just as often as we do exactly what we say, just as often as we do exactly what God says. And we know that, you know, the Israelites did not have an easy journey once they came out of Egypt. They, you know, first they were complaining that Moses had brought them out of Egypt and slavery just so they could die in the wilderness. You know, they complained. They eventually, you know, they create that golden calf. They start worshiping the golden calf. It's they're very broken people. They're people. They're human, right? And so they go through their struggles and they go through these things and they lose track of God's love for them. They lose track of God's relationship with them, and they need constant reminders. That for me is the Old Testament. Constant reminders that God tries so hard to be in relationship with the people and just keeps coming at it. No matter what the people do, God keeps trying to be in relationship with them, coming to them through prophets, coming to them through signs, coming to them through visions, whatever it is. In this case, God is coming to them through Moses. So Moses, you know, as you know, was called to lead the Exodus, to go back to Egypt and lead the Israelites out of slavery. And he does this, and he's still, you know, God's mouthpiece to them. He is still the leader of this group, and he's trying his hardest to follow God's will and get the people to follow God's will. We know that they still have more trials coming because they end up having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses doesn't actually get to see the promised land. So there's a lot that is happening in Exodus. There's a lot that happens with the Israelites in terms of their relationship with God and each other. And it is in the book of Exodus where we do get the Ten Commandments that help us to be in relationship with God and each other. And this is where they arrive at Mount Sinai, which one commentary that I read this week describes as the beginning place. So she says, this is from Callie Plunkett Bruton, campus minister at the University of North Alabama, Florence, Alabama. She says that their arrival, the Israelites' arrival, marks the fulfillment of the promise God made to Moses at the burning bush. "I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, and you shall worship God on this mountain." And that's from Exodus 3, chapter 3, verse 12. So the promise has come full circle, and yet the journey is just beginning. The covenant relationship between Israel and God. So the first part of their journey, they've completed that first part of their journey, right? Moses has brought them out of Egypt. They have been saved by the crossing of the Red Sea when the army was after them, and they were able to cross safely when the army was not able to cross safely. They have been shown God's love for them. They have been shown the lengths that God is willing to go to protect them, to save them, to be in relationship with them. And here is where that relationship and that new covenant begins to unfold, here at Sinai. And so Moses is summoned by God, goes up, gets these new words from God, goes and tells the people, and they say, "Yes, everything that God says, we will do." And I love that that's where that text ends. It ends on that moment of hope, because I think that verse is all of us. Verse 8a is all of us. "Yes, God, whatever you command me, I will do. Yes, God, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Yes, God, I am discerning your word every day." Those are our intentions, right? Those are the things that we firmly believe that we will do. And then life happens, right? And we find ourselves turning our back on God, or we find ourselves angry with God, or we find ourselves confused about God, doubtful about God, all of those things that happen when you live life as a human in this world. And that's exactly what happens with the Israelites. They start to get a little turned around. They turn from God. They listen to people they shouldn't. They don't remember the words that God has given them. So I think that this first text that we read today is really just kind of a microcosm of our whole lives and our relationship with God. And I really appreciate it for that. So we are going to take our first break of the podcast. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the second reading, the alternate reading for this week. And that is from Genesis. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the Old Testament readings assigned for this week that I forgot to mention is the week of June 18th. I can't even remember what Sunday was. Isn't that terrible? It's the second Sunday after Pentecost. I did forget to mention that. So we are now looking at the alternate reading, the alternate Old Testament reading. As I mentioned before, churches can decide if they are going to do one or the other of the Old Testament readings. This one comes from Genesis, and it is actually quite long. It's Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. And then the alternate reading has alternate verses. So whenever you see verses in brackets in the lectionary, those mean that they can be read or they don't have to be read. So this alternate reading has alternate verses, as I said, and those alternate verses are chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, and we will be reading all of those. So those verses are as follows. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." So again, that was Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. And those were the verses where God comes to Abraham, and Abraham prepares a meal and talks with God. And then, and Sarah laughs at the thought of herself having a child at her advanced age. And then chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, which gives us the conclusion of this story that God, in fact, does keep God's word and that Sarah does have a child. This is one of my favorite stories because Sarah is so like all of us, right? She has longed for something in her life. In this case, it's a child. She and Abraham were promised descendants. If you remember, God promised them descendants that would outnumber the stars of the sky or outnumber the grains of sand in the ocean and on the beach, which is a lot of descendants. And yet here they are, and we're told that when Isaac actually is born, Abraham is 100. So he is old, Sarah is old, Sarah's way past childbearing years, and yet we are told that she does in fact conceive. And you know, at this point, we don't know if 100 really means they were 100. I mean, if Sarah was in her 90s and giving birth, oh, goodness, Lord help her, literally. the point is, regardless of how specifically, literally old they were older than they thought they should be in order for having children. Sarah has clearly gone through menopause. She has given up hope that she will ever conceive and bear a child. It says that it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That's what I was looking for. And so this is where she laughs. And God says, why does Sarah laugh? And then when Isaac is born, they name him Laughter. Isaac means laughter. So really, how perfect is that, that they named him after Sarah laughing and disbelieving that God's promise could be true for her? And one of the commentaries, again, that I read from this week comes from Catherine M. Schifferdecker, who is the Associate Professor of Old Testament, Luther Seminary, St. Paul, Minnesota. And she says that the story for this week is for those who think there is no humor in the Bible, which, of course, isn't true. There's all sorts of places of humor in the Bible. She says, but first things first, we enter this week right into the middle of the story of Abraham and Sarah. Due to the vagaries of the liturgical calendar, we have not heard in the last 2 weeks the other semi-continuous readings that lead up to this story. So if Easter, and thus Pentecost and Holy Trinity, had come earlier, we would have heard last week the story of the call of Abraham in Genesis 12. As it is, we just need to fill in some of that backstory before talking about this particular text, which we already did. So that God has called Abraham, God has promised Abraham descendants, etc., as I said. So the problem, of course, that to being a blessing to the whole world, because that's part of the promise of their having descendants, is that, you know, they have no children. And we do know that Sarah is barren. We've been told that through in this backstory, and now God appears. And it's hard to be the ancestor of a great nation. It's hard to be a blessing to the whole world if you don't have, you know, any children with that. So, and it's, you know, it was very important in these times. You know, there was a lot of pressure around children, biological children, et cetera, et cetera. So now Sarah is 90. She's beyond thinking that she is ever going to have a child. And it seems that that's not going to happen. But here we are in Genesis 18, and God has given Sarah and Abraham this announcement. So I love that God asks, why did Sarah laugh? God asks Abraham that. Sarah's in the tent still, so God doesn't ask Sarah directly, but Sarah still denies it. No, I didn't laugh. No, please. Ah. You know, she's got that little bit of a good dose of fear of the Lord, right? She doesn't want God thinking that she was laughing or that she was doubting or disbelieving, but she was. And we all do. We all have that moment. But with God, we are told that nothing is impossible. And Sarah and Abraham and Isaac prove that. There's so many things in the Bible that prove that, that with God, nothing is impossible, but also with God, we never know what the timing is going to look like. And for those of you who are struggling with infertility in any way, shape, or form, I'm sure people have brought up to you God's timing, or maybe even this story, and you know, it'll happen when it will happen. And this story isn't meant to say that this story can be used, I think, sometimes unhelpfully in those terms, that it is true that God's timing isn't always our timing, but that does not diminish your struggle. It does not diminish your heartbreak. It does not diminish everything that you go through in order to have a child. What I think this story does tell us, rather than just being thrown at people to say, oh, well, here, it's in the Bible, just have faith, it'll be fine, is to say, well, no, that God is faithful, that with nothing, that with God, nothing is impossible, but we don't always know how that's going to look. So this story gives us hope. It gives us faith, maybe in terms of the things that we are struggling with, in terms of God's timing, in terms of things that we want in our life that aren't happening. And so if you are one of those people, couples, families, etc., who struggles with infertility or who struggles with any aspect of wanting a child and having trouble with that or having lost a child, this is not to say, oh, you know, just pray harder. No, this story says, don't give up hope, that God is with you no matter what, that God loves you and cares for you, and that nothing is impossible with God. And even when things seem so hopeless and helpless and you wonder, where is God in all of this? Why is God not answering me? Why is God not listening to me? God is there. God is with us all the time. God excuse me, God grieves with us when we are struggling in our lives. So that is what I bring to you today from this story of Genesis. And we do have to take our second break of the podcast, but when we come back, we'll be looking at the third Old Testament text assigned for this week, and that is Psalm 100. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are rounding out the podcast with our third segment and our third reading for today, the second Sunday after Pentecost. And that reading comes from Psalm 100, which is only five verses long. Those verses are as follows. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So that is Psalm 100, all five verses of it. And how joy-filled is that psalm? Each verse is wonderful. Each verse, I'm just going to go through them one by one because they are... each verse just is kind of a gem, right? So it starts out, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, all of the earth, not just us. The entire earth should be making a joyful noise. And we've talked about this before, right? That the entire earth is God's creation. And so the entire earth worships God. The entire earth, remember last week we were talking about the great sea creatures, the Leviathan that sports in the sea, and that even the creatures of God's earth and God's creation look to God for their needs, and they know that God has created them, and et cetera, et cetera. So make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. This isn't just sit back and be quiet. This isn't we're in church. No, this is make a joyful noise. Shout out your joy. The entire earth should just be shouting in joy, singing in joy, dancing in joy because of everything that God has done for us, right? Worship the Lord, verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So again, I grew up in a tradition that didn't always, we're called the Frozen Chosen. I've mentioned that before. we don't, not all Lutherans are the same. I'm not going to say that because there are Lutherans who are not frozen, still chosen. We're all chosen. But I have friends who are Lutheran and who do know how to have joy in worship. The many Lutherans come from a German or Scandinavian background, and so they were brought up in more austere settings, and dancing and joyfulness wasn't encouraged in worship. You were supposed to be solemn and respectful in worship. Again, not all Lutherans are like this. Do not judge all Lutherans just because I grew up in a Scandinavian German household, surrounded by other Scandinavians and Germans who did not clap in worship, who did not, shout out joyfully. We were a very awkward congregation growing up. But this says to worship God with gladness, to come into God's presence with singing. So, that's just expanding on that, making a joyful noise. We come to God with joy. We come to God in this just exuberant praise because of everything that God has done for us. And how can we not come into God's presence with singing and joyfulness and gladness? Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So it's just expanding, right? We should make a joyful noise. We should come into God's presence with thanksgiving and singing. Why should we do this? Because God is God, and we are his. The Lord is God, and we are his. God created us. God created the entire world. God created all the creatures in this world. God created the heavens and the stars and the universe and just everything that surrounds us in joy and beauty. And we are his people. We are the sheep of God's pasture. And of course, we've encountered this metaphor of sheep before, of God as the sheep herder, of Jesus in the New Testament as the sheep herder and the one who cares for the sheep. So this image of the flock is very powerful. We are cared for by God. We are given everything that we need by God. Psalm 23, of course, talks about this, that God gives the sheep safety and green pastures and good drinking water and all of those things. So just one more reason why we should come into God's presence with joy and thanksgiving. We are to enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's name. That's verse 4. So once again, just expanding, we just talked about why. We just talked about that God is good. God created us. God created everything. So, of course, we should enter with this joyful noise, with praise, with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, blessing God's name. And then, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all the generations. What more can we ask for than knowing that God is good, that God's steadfast love is forever? There is nothing that can separate us from God's love. There's nothing can separate us from the faithfulness that God has for not only us, but for all generations before and after, for the entire beautiful, wonderful creation that God has made and that we are a part of. So this psalm is just beautiful. It's joy filled. It's wonderful. It gives us these wonderful reasons to celebrate, but then it also encourages us to share that joy with God, to go and actually worship and praise God and lift our voices in song. And that doesn't mean you have to be crazy. If you grew up in a tradition that, was a little more austere, you can still praise God and not be wild about it. But hey, if praising God and being wild is the way you, you know, that's what moves you in your heart to do, then bring that joy. Bring that joy and sing out. Shout out to God with joy and gladness and thanksgiving. Do a little dance, clap, whatever it takes to show God just how exuberant you are to have been created by such a loving God. And that is all the time that we have for today. And I am starting to lose my voice, so I think it's time for me to get some tea. But that's all the time that we have for today. I hope you will join me next time when I talk about the New Testament readings assigned for this week, June 18th, the second Sunday after Pentecost. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and all of the apps that you use for your mobile devices. And you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. We are GSMC Bible Study, and I would love to hear from you. In the meantime, have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Until next time, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.